Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for blessing this conference call tonight, this fellowship of like-minded believers, Lord. I thank you tonight, Lord, is going to be a special night because your anointing is upon this conference call. People will open up and talk about the glories that they have received from you, Lord, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the praise reports. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that are going to be answered. And Father, we just thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given each one of us to overcome that sin, to overcome all those things that have hindered our walk in the past, Father. And I praise you for that, for putting us up on that narrow road, Lord, and getting us out of that carnal Christian life into that holiness and perfection that you only can put us in, Father, and I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be very special in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's open it up for prayers. Anybody got any prayer or prayer requests or somebody they'd like to pray for?
Yeah, you can pray for me.
Okay.
You can pray for me because a lot of times I get a lot of pressure previous to the call, and you say, "Oh, I'm going to get on the call tonight," and then I don't. And today I thought, "Well, this is great. I'm going to get on," but I got really tired just before the call. So, and it's hard for me to talk on the phone at the best of times. I'm not a phone type of a person. But I really think that I need to change my way of life or whatever. So if you pray for me that I could get on these fellowships and open up more.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you heard Bernie's request. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to wake him up at the right time every Tuesday and Thursday, Lord, and place in him the want to get on and be a part of this teleconference, Lord, and to share whatever it is you'd have him to share, Father. We command that spirit of fear. We command that spirit of drowsiness. We command that spirit drowsiness to go from him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to place in him a joy and a peace and a rest on those days to come into the conference and share whatever's on his heart, Lord. And we thank you that from this point on, Bernie is going to be a regular. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Bernie?
Amen. And one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, one thing. Well, I listen. Sometimes I listen to the tapes. I used to listen to them regularly, and then I kind of got away, and then I was picking up again. And I'm always blessed when I do. And so I was listening to, I think, the last one, and Tim started off saying how in the week before that people were all quiet, and both you and Tim were saying that no one's sharing and things like that. And I had, it seemed to me listening to the tape that you guys sometimes don't wait as long as you used to for people to respond. I just get the impression, you might say, well, does anybody need prayer? No. And then, but some people are slow in responding. Like they got to get their mute off, or like some people are really quick to respond no matter what, and other people are more reluctant, and they kind of look to the left and to the right and see if they're not going to trample over to someone else before they enter in. So I just sort of felt that time to me that sometimes you sort of speed through too much, and maybe someone might have something if they felt that someone, they weren't going to trample on somebody else.
Okay.
Or maybe you can ask people. Maybe you can ask people on the conference how they perceive that. You know, that might have just be me, or they think they have enough time or whatever. I know it used to be when I used to have a monitor and you could put your hand up or whatever, and you could have a cue, so you'd have you could put an indication whether you had something on your mind or something. So. But maybe somebody else might have feedback on that.
No, that's a valid point. Sure, that's not a problem for me. I can wait until, you know, somebody says something or don't say something. I can wait as long as anybody else can, glory to God, I tell you. So, no, that's a valid point. I know at times I might get quick, but I try most of the time to give people a chance, but sometimes I get in a hurry. And I apologize to y'all for doing that. And so from now on, I'm going to wait till somebody says something. Y'all better talk. All right. Anybody need? Oh, what happened? All right. Does anybody else need prayer?
Yes, my wife and my neighbor need prayer. My wife, she had burned her face, that healed up real quick. Y'all prayed and it healed up real quick, and then it peeled like a sunburn would peel. It peeled. And now she's well, but her tooth is hurting her, and it's causing her ear to hurt. So it hasn't been hurting her too bad today, but last night it was hurting her real bad. And so okay. I need prayer for that. And my neighbor across from me, just one, the building in front of me, you would say, the lady has been reported to have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And that's a bad one, but nothing too hard for Jesus, so I know that. And she's deaf. She's a deaf lady. And
okay. Is she a believer?
Yeah, she believes. She may be a little Catholic. A lot of people here have a kind of an in-between Catholic and Baptist kind of deal. You know, I don't know. 80% of the population is Catholic here in Lafayette.
Okay. What's the lady's name?
Her name is, I don't know her last name, but her name is Sandra.
Sandra? Did you say Sandra Wade?
Yes, Sandra.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this toothache that Jeanette's got. She's not under the curse. She doesn't have to sit there and take that. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to stop. We command the abscess to stop. We command that tooth to be healed. In the name of Jesus, we command everything that destroyer has tried to take from her to be restored as new. In Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that she no longer has to worry about that because you have fixed it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Mute us after.
What's that?
Mute us after we talk. Pray for Sandra.
Okay. Lord, we come before you for Sandra. They've given her the bad report of pancreatic cancer. But Lord, according to Wade, she's a believer. And we come against that spirit of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. And we cast it off of her. We cast off the spirit of the fear of cancer off of her in the name of Jesus. And we cast off the spirit of death off of her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that Sandra is healed. Every cell, every tissue, every organ in her body right now be healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank all you, right. Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, Wayne. Anything else, brother?
You mute us. I think a lady may be bringing a meal over in the middle of the night. I mean, the middle of this time while we're praying, we're having a conference call. So mute us.
Okay, no. I'll get you muted, brother. Okay, Judy.
Yes.
Can you know how to mute your phone?
Yes, I was going to just unmute it because I wanted to ask for a prayer.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was both a prayer request and also a testimony. Like, for my daughter Angie, that she's in a work release program from a prison, and she's having a big problem with smoking. And I believe the Lord is really giving her a trial and chasing her, because this is the third time that she's gotten caught, and they probably will ship her now to maybe a women's prison where it's worse and everything. I've been talking to her, you know, listen to the Lord. He's really trying to get to you. And she believes. So, Lord, I want to bring her up to you and ask you to keep your arms around her, but show her what you want her to hear and see and be with her and give her understanding and give her comfort and the fact that if she gets transferred. So just be with her when she does have to go there, because it will be rough, but that's what you're wanting her to do. It's your will, and your will be done. And I want to thank you, Lord, for giving me peace, because I was getting all upset and excited and worried and crying and all this stuff. But I thank you, Lord, for doing that in me. And then also, a couple days ago, one of Angie's friends texted me by mistake, which I didn't know it was a mistake. She said she's going to be transferred because she's got two things against her. And I thought she was talking about Angie, but she really wasn't. And the text wasn't supposed to go to me, but I feel the Lord was letting me know ahead of time that this is going to happen and I need to get prepared. And I talked to him because I was thinking that it was Angie, and he was kind of giving me peace and everything, and I was real peaceful about it. So then when it actually did happen, the Lord has really given me a lot of peace, and I thank him so much for that.
Amen.
Okay, amen. I'll mute it now.
Okay, well, we Lord, we just put our faith with Judy and believe that you're going to do a mighty miracle there with Angie, Judy's daughter, and we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
All right. Anybody else? I take that as a no.
That was really good.
Okay.
I got one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
When I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Moses and how Moses was, he said he wasn't eloquent, but Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And I was thinking about Moses growing up and how he probably had a really hard time because he was actually a believer, growing up with all the Egyptian education. So I imagine he probably got put down a lot when he was growing up. So he probably became a bit inhibited from saying different things, but was very good at sorting things out. But so that's what I thought about with Moses. I thought maybe there's a correspondence between not being eloquent and being meek.
Amen.
That's all.
Thank you, Lord. Good. Thank you, Bernie. All right. Anybody got any testimonies or praise reports at this time?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I have two praise reports. We've had some really cold weather here. In fact, western Nebraska had 2 inches or 2 foot of snow the other day, and it was supposed to freeze here last night. They were saying it was going to freeze, and we just came against that and commanded it not to come, and we didn't get any frost last night because our gardens and flowers and everything are really quite a ways ahead of normal, and frost would have really been bad. So I just praise the Lord for that. And the other thing, we had prayed for my sister some time back. She had a real large tumor removed. It was the size of a cantaloupe, and she went through a really hard time. She had panic attacks, and she was afraid to be alone. And she comes to our study, and she was really, when she came, she was really doubtful about David and about God's word and just everything. I mean, she just really didn't have a positive thing to say at all. But the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, she just completely changed around. And I just praise the Lord, because we knew it would have to be him that would change her. We couldn't change her. And I think that's the way it is with everything. It has to be, we just have to wait on the Lord to change people. And it was a long time coming with her, because we began to doubt whether it was ever going to happen. But he is faithful when we give him our faith.
Well, I was sitting there talking with the mute on. Hey, I got a question for you. I know it was the Lord that changed her around, but do you know of any certain Bible study that you had that she started looking?
No, I really don't. When she went through the hard times with when she was in the hospital and stuff, we kept telling her you have to, you know, come against these demons because those panic attacks, they were demonic. And I really think just going through that whole thing that she went through, because she was really at a low place in her life, and I really think that really just changed her.
Amen. That'll do it just about every time if you're praying for one. It's, God has to break them sometime, doesn't he?
Yeah, they have to get to a place where there is no other place to go. And she was really to that place because she was just terrified to stay alone.
Yeah. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, this is Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah, I just ran across a message from Stephen, and he's asking if we could agree. Do you mind if I just read his message?
No, go right ahead. That'd be fine.
Okay. I prayed for God to show me who to pray for, and I asked a man about 65 years old who shattered his kneecap in a fall a few months ago. He wanted me to pray for him, and I did. So if you could agree with me for his complete healing in a very short time so he knows it is God, if you can share this request on the conference call and pray, I would appreciate that. I feel like I did what God asked me to do, so it's up to him. I want to share the gospel with him after he receives his healing. I'm excited he wanted me to pray with him, and God led me to him. Thanks.
Amen. Well, go ahead and pray for this guy, Malcolm. We'll believe with you, brother.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for putting, even though it's hard for us, and for him and Helen, and I just thank you that you've put Stephen where you have him, and we just trust you that you have him there for a purpose, and it's a great purpose for him and also for others there and for his family and for us too. So anyway, I pray, Lord, that you will just fill Stephen with faith and fill this gentleman, this 65-year-old gentleman, with faith for his knee, and let them both know it's you. Just make it really clear, and I pray that you will just grant Stephen great grace and faith to do what you've put on his heart in there. And I thank you so much. And I also pray that you will prepare the way before Stephen, and guide him, continue to guide him in all of his interactions there. And we're just looking forward to a great praise report out of there. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that that's going to be a mighty quick miracle for this man, and that he'll know that it's the Lord. And we praise you, Father, that other prisoners, other inmates will be able to see that as a miracle, and would come to the Lord as well. And Father, we thank you for the work that Stephen is doing in there. Lord, we just ask that you lift him up, bless him mightily with your joy, your peace, and your rest in his heart. Lord, we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Could I just add something else that he sent in another message here?
Oh, I'd be delighted to hear it.
It's not related to this, but he told me this morning there was another earthquake in Nepal, and I hadn't heard that. Last night there was another earthquake at 7.3, which is pretty close to the border and close to that road that comes down from Tibet down into Nepal, a major road. But anyway, he said it's amazing how little coverage there is on Nepal and how little people seem to care. During the first quake, there was almost no mention on CNN, but they had almost continuous coverage of a person who died due to police brutality. And she just says, you know, there's lots of people who've been brutalized by police, and one that was killed, but God raised him from the dead in about half an hour. But none of those people got coverage. But anyway, all he gets there is CNN. So you can imagine how it can be probably kind of frustrating to be so limited in what you know, as far as media, whereas the rest of us have access to, you know, the internet and
sure
all that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know Stephen liked to look at the world news, and of course he's limited to what he can do. But do you have email with him?
Yeah, I correspond with him during the day. If I'm around the computer, so.
Just tell him that we said hello, and we would keep him in our prayers constantly.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. Be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what his schedule is getting to. There's a room where they have a computer or computers, and so occasionally I'll get a message from him different times during the day, even in the evening sometimes.
So yeah.
I'll do that.
Okay. Anything else, brother?
Just a little more news from this area. We had some pretty heavy chemtrailing. I was telling Chad Sunday on, it was, you know how you get this silvery hue on everything after a while when they do that all day long.
Yeah.
So other than that, it was a beautiful day. I just couldn't get down where we were.
Amen.
Right, so amen. We have to all be walking by faith.
Well, you know, we pray those things out. If when we think about it, in the mornings we get up. If David and I got something to do all day long outside, we'll pray those things out. And you know what? It works. God keeps them on the ground. We've seen that happen two or three times when we pray about the chemtrail. What we do, we pray against the planes getting off the ground and the spray equipment being broke, so the pilots don't get hurt. But that's what we do, and God is very He always answers those prayers. Or he has been answering those prayers almost immediately. So it's been awesome for us to see God work like that. All right, anybody else with a testimony or a praise report?
Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay. Thank you. Well, the Lord's been fashioning something in my understanding for the last couple of years, and I'm not really good at speaking up. But I'm doing so by faith, and so excuse me if I sound a little awkward. But, I'm not real good at it, but I would like to share because I believe it edifies and it builds up, and I certainly want to do that. But the Lord's been trying to teach me about what plates I'm eating off of in the spirit. Okay. One is like according to the knowledge of good and evil, and one is like, you know, just resting and saying, my food is to do thy will, O God. The knowledge of good and evil, I mean, all things are clean. I mean, nothing is forbidden for us, but it just depends on this other vine of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Do we have dominion over that plate? Yes, we do. But a lot of times we let the enemy feed us off that plate. That's when our knowledge becomes darkened and defiled. And the enemy likes to put his words on that plate. And if he can get us to anoint it with fear or doubting God's word or anything like that, he knows he can work that reality in us. So in one of the circumstances that the Lord put me in, because you know the Lord will run us through testing and things like this, I heard a voice. It was just a voice one night or one day, and this voice said very clearly in my mind, oh, I'm tired. And very shortly, like instantly, I became tired. And I knew that this voice wasn't me because I wasn't tired at that time. But I think it was the Lord letting me know, you know, that I had responded to that voice and kind of anointed it and went along with it with my belief. that I was tired. I came into agreement with it. That was a double witness. And then that word was able to find a home in me to work its reality. And so the Lord's been teaching me more about not eating off of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because, until it just depends on who's feeding you off that plate, and are you eating what the enemy is trying to feed you? If the enemy wants to feed you off of the knowledge of evil, certain words, and the fear factor rises up and says, oh, what if I, get that, or what if that happens, or, you know, there's sickness going around, you know what I'm saying? And then we anoint it with our fear or contradicting the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord says, whatsoever thing is pure, lovely, and beautiful, and of a good report, we think upon these things, you know. And, to those that believe, all things are possible. And so the Lord gives us absolutes that his word is yes and amen. And if my food is to do the will of the Father, then it means that I have to enter into like a complete rest. I'm no longer able to feed myself. I become helpless. Anyway, so it's not about me trying to get anything for myself, serve myself any food, because I'm not the one that feeds myself anymore. And now I'm crying out, Abba, Father. And now I'm ceased from my labors. I don't try to feed myself off of any plate, good or evil. I'm just saying, Father, my food is to do thy will today, and his food is alive and powerful, and his report is good continually. And he says, if my words have a home in you, then ask for whatever you want, because his words are good continually. And this is what enables us to have that living word fellowship with the Father. But first we have to kind of die to that other plate, you know, where the enemy keeps trying to feed us according to our fear. Will we get evil today? Will we eat good today? You know, it's all like a, pardon the expression, it's all a crapshoot. You know, you never know what's going to come. Well, yeah, you do. All of a sudden you say, my food is to do thy will, O God, and now you're eating food that's alive and powerful because you're not serving yourself anymore. You're letting the Lord feed you, and now your food is to do the will of the Father, and he only has good things. He can't give you a serpent or a stone. And then after a while, you kind of notice that the enemy's voice just disappears. Your warfare is disappearing, and all that's left is the living word. You know, it just gets intense because the old vine is withering up. I'm not saying knowledge is bad, but it just depends on who's serving you. Do you have dominion over that plate, or are you just eating anything the enemy wants to put on that plate to feed you? You bear witness to it through your fear, your doubt, your unbelief, and you anoint it, and now you've got to bear the fruit of it and live it out in your own body. So for us to be getting together and praying, what we're doing is we're taking dominion over what's on that plate. We're telling the enemy what image to take on. We're telling, everything what to do in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So it lines up with thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're making everything conform to Christ. We're making what's on that plate of the knowledge of good and evil conform to Christ, you know? And so this is how I wanted to encourage the brother that felt sleepy. Well, you know, when I said, you know what, all of a sudden I don't feel sleepy. I was kind of playing with it, you know, because I'd heard, oh, I'm tired. I said, well, no, I'm not tired in Jesus' name. And the sleep lifted off. You know, we really are what we eat, aren't we? Amen. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Yeah, good testimony. That's the way we do it. We got to believe the word and stand on the word, enduring our faith to the end. All right. Anybody else with a testimony or a praise report or something they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, go ahead, Tim.
When Leona was sharing that, it kind of reminded me of something that we used to do in high school. And that was, we would go up to somebody and say, hey, are you feeling all right? And they'd say, oh, yeah, well, I'm feeling great. And they would say, are you sure? They're, oh, yeah, I feel good. I said, oh, okay, you don't look good. You kind of look a little pale. Are you sure you're feeling all right? And all of a sudden, they start thinking, and you know, we'd go up and we'd touch their head. And, oh, you seem a little warm. Are you sure you're all right? And you know, it was just kind of a game that we would play. But after that, you know, we'd say, you know, yeah, you look like you got dark circles under your eyes or something. I don't know what's going on, but you just don't look, you know, right. And a little while later, we'll look over and they'll be with their head down on the desk or something, you know, and it was just something. But you just put a little bit of doubt in somebody's mind and their mind takes over and they start believing what their mind is telling them. You know, it just takes a little bit of doubt. And, you know, and I just, when she was sharing that, you know, I just remembered we used to do things like that when we were in like high school, and it was just kind of a, you know, a thing, but you can kind of convince somebody that, you know, that it wasn't true, but the enemy just takes it over.
Amen. No, go ahead.
Then I heard a thing, it was on NPR one day, and they had people coming in, and it was this study, and they were just giving them placebo pills. They were just sugar pills. They were giving them these sugar pills, and just giving them basically a good report, saying, oh, you're doing real good, and just keep taking these or whatever it was. And people were, whatever they were dealing with, thought by, you know, taking these pills that it was making them better, and these people got better. And, you know, so it's just your mind, you know, the enemy just plays in your mind, and it can take a little doubt or it can take it the other way. And, you know, but, you know, it's just doubt can really take you down. So
well,
I just thought I'd share
like
that.
To add something on to that as well. You know, you have both the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So even if you were to, you know, go ahead and pump them full of a good report, it's still the enemy going to mess with you. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the enemy wants to make sure he's got his bases covered one way or another, and this is where positive confession and prosperity gospel, I think that they get a lot of their oomph, you know, because they're all up in the knowledge of good and their own sowing and reaping process. To me, in my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but we want to kind of get out of our own sowing and reaping process because we're not alive anymore. And it's the Lord's sowing and reaping process through us. And this is where we fall to the ground and die. And we say, it's no longer I that live. So, Father, my food is to do thy will. And we just sit back and let the kingdom come in power. We let the word of God come in power. The enemy likes to dangle words, you know, in front of us. Oh, you're going to be this and that. And you know, there is a bit of an anointing that goes along with that. But it is not... I really think it's a great end time deception because we want that kingdom to come in power. We want Christ to be glorified. We want not necessarily a bunch of words. And that's pretty much what the false prophets have for us these days, are a bunch of words according to the knowledge of good, but they have no substance because they're fed to us from the enemy of our soul. So he's kind of like dangling that word. And we know that it's maybe lining up with a good report or according to the word of God, but we're receiving it not in a position of complete rest, you know, and ceasing from our labors. We're not receiving it in power. And can everyone still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. I'd like to qualify a little bit of what you're saying there. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you. Please just jump in.
I do want to say that the positive confession, I know I'm not real sure what you're talking about there, that we shouldn't do that or not. Maybe I misunderstood you, but the word says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you're speaking according to God's will and you're believing by faith that it's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. I don't care what anybody says. If you're believing the word of God and the promises of the word of God and you're speaking as an oracle of God, I'm healed. I don't care what the doctor told me, you're healed.
Yeah, or
if my provisions,
right.
I have to make this bill next week, but God says I'm going to believe it, and so I'm going to speak.
That's
the basics of faith itself, is to speak.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, may I make a comment in this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. Thank you, Leon.
I just wanted to say that. I understand, I think, what the sister says, that there's I hear a lot of fluffy prophets, they call themselves, and they're all over the internet and everywhere. There's people that are, and they'll tell you anything you want to hear, peace, peace, when there is no peace, you know. There's a lot of things that are spoken over people. There are some groups of people, when they speak, everything they say, I see prosperity, I see blessing, I see favor, I see... and everything, and the Lord may say, like the Laodicean church, be zealous and repent. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I mean, there are words that God has to say to a people right now, especially in this hour of strong exhortation, because judgment's coming first to the house of God before it goes to the world. And I truly believe in that. And I also, when you talk about, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he was the only one that could, at this point, that could say, the prince of this world is cast down and has nothing in me. We still have a certain amount of mixture, and there is a law of sowing and reaping that goes on, in the sense that if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we will reap everlasting life. And that there is a daily battling and contending for the faith of Christ in our own life, and we're wrestling with principalities and powers. Jesus had a complete mastery over the enemy, and he was tempted in all points like as we are, but never sinned. But I really do agree with you, Michael, that our confessions have to be right. But I also see this whole movement. We've met it in California, and we've seen it. We just encountered a sister that has just decided she ain't going to fight anymore. She's just going to just think, you know, the Joseph Prince type stuff, that anything nice, that's what I believe, that's what I think. Don't tell me anything negative. I don't want to hear about the cross. I don't want to hear about suffering. I don't want to hear about discipline. I don't want to hear about any kind of... I'm just going to take and just in this la-la bliss thing, and it's really an arrest of ignorance is what it is. Because in this hour, if you're not contending, you are being defeated. This is an hour of great battle, a great warfare. From every front that I'm talking with brothers all over right now, every one of them says, we have never dealt with stuff like we're dealing with now. Just stuff going left and right, intensity all around us. And we're just beginning to see, like he says, that men's hearts are going to fail. Then Pope Fear, just looking at the things coming on the face of the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So it's a time of great contesting. And we're not, I don't believe anybody I know is at the place where they can say, hey, there's nothing in me of flesh or demonic strongholds. I'm completely free. I would like to be able to say that, but I would not be a very honest man if I did, because I still battle with stuff and smash my finger with a hammer and find myself saying things I wouldn't say ordinarily or whatever, you know. I find that there's mixture. And so we're in a battle right now, and we still are sowing and reaping, but the wonderful thing is that the blood of Christ still covers and avails if we'll humble ourselves before him and just get up and walk again. A righteous man falls seven times. I think seven times in one day, it'd be more close to it. But I do believe with all my heart that God has a word for his people right now, and it's not all smooth and peaceful, although we need to contend for the things that are in the Word and for righteous things and things that are good and speak and confess and stand. But we also have to be willing to hear an exhortation when we need one, and somebody to the faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And I see a lot of people right now, just tell me something sweet, tell me something nice, give me a cookie, something with sugar on it, but don't tell me anything hard. I don't want to hear it. That's not God's way. Right now, we need to embrace the cross. We need to fall on the rock and be broken so the rock doesn't fall on us and grind us to powder. We need to be in a place with all of our heart where we welcome the light to shine in every dark place of our heart. We say, Lord, I don't want to get judged later. I want judged now. Let's deal with it now. Shine the light now. Take everything that's deficient and that's out of the spirit, that's in the flesh, every alliance that I have with the flesh and with this world, bring it right out in the light and let's deal with it, because I don't want to be judged later. I want to be judged now.
Yeah, I'd like to join in, if I may. This is Al in Birmingham.
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Okay. Oh, boy, the sister just blessed me tremendously, and the whole conversation is what needs to be discussed, and it needs to walk in the spirit or to eat from the tree of life is essential for all of us. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is carnality. It makes us be independent, because knowledge puffs up. And so Satan uses knowledge, whether it's good or evil, to puff us up in our flesh, and then thereby we're carnal. Then we're carnal Christians, well intended, mean well, but we're in our flesh. Then when we're operating out of knowledge, but when we eat from the tree of life, then we're dependent on God. Then we're dependent, and thereby Christ can live through us, and we can experience Christ. And so we really can't bless anyone else, not genuinely, unless we realize these things experientially, unless we actually, you know, these truths have manifested in our lives, where this, and that way, you know, a lot of times you don't even have to, you know, try to share with knowledge to someone, because by you having Christ experientially, they just know it's something different about you. They just, it just spills over on them. And then, see, that way we've taken ourselves out of the equation. As the young lady said, the sister said earlier, it's no longer we that live, but Christ that's living in us. That's why he said, I must go or the Holy Spirit won't come. See, when we're solical and got all this knowledge, boy, we can spit scriptures off, and I mean, we can shoot, I mean, we can, we're not really blessing anyone where they can experience Christ. We're sharing, you know, mental sin, a lot of head knowledge. And then that's where the debates and arguing and who's right and who's wrong and all that comes from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the Lord is blessing me right now where I'm I've started to experience Christ in my day-to-day walk, not just walking around with a lot of knowledge or what I thought was, you know, a good thing to, but, you know, you do have to go through that process, because one thing, as Tim was just saying, that, you know, we're living in times now where the spiritual warfare is getting more intense, because when you're sober cool, or when you're a carnal Christian, oh boy, every day is howdy, howdy, lottie, dotty, you know, the Lord wants me to have this, I see this, I see, I'm going to have this, I, my flesh. Okay, it's because you're carnal, so you really don't experience spiritual warfare, because, you know, there's no need for Satan and his imps to come at you, because you're still in your flesh. And you really don't understand these things. But once you start walking after the Spirit, the Lord blesses you to usher you into walking after the Spirit, that's when the onslaught comes. That's when the spiritual warfare intensifies, because now you're a spiritual Christian instead of a carnal Christian. So all those that on Sunday morning in these big arenas, and they're hearing these light, fluffy little sermons, they're all happy. They don't want to hear nothing hard and all, like Tim was saying. Hey, they're carnal. They're enjoying Christ. We've all been there. They're enjoying the blessings, and there's everything is good. Every day is Sunday. When God matures you and brings you to a point where you are entering into a spiritual being, where you're no longer under the law of sin and death, but now we're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's when you can look for it. But the battle is already won. It's a beautiful thing when you are dealing with a lot of spiritual warfare, because it's maturing you, you see. And I found out that the flesh is the meeting place of Satan, sin, and death. But hallelujah, thank God for Romans 8. The law, we're no longer under the law of sin and death. We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that tree of life. I'm done. Thank you.
Amen, Albert. Thank you, Albert, Michael, Leona, Tim. Thank you all. You had real good points, Leona. Real good points.
Is it my turn now?
I wanted to ask Tim if he repented from that witchcraft since he was a child. All right, go ahead, Slate. I don't guess Tim heard me.
Oh, he probably fell asleep. You know how he is. No, but
no, actually, Michael, when you spoke, it sounded like you were underwater, so I didn't.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
So we really don't know what you said.
Michael,
you doing it again? Fan on, all of a sudden, you're just like you're underwater.
You might be gargling, huh?
Art, is that better?
That sounds much better.
Okay. Well, I did have the fan on, but it was getting a little warm in here, so I guess I'll just sit here and sweat.
And excuse me, I did say that was Tim. I'm sorry, that was Michael from Montana. I'm sorry if I made a mistake there. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Michael, Michael, if you were in Montana right now, you'd need a blanket.
Okay. All right, Slade, what you got, brother?
Well, three different things, but I will make it quick. But anyway, what Michael Montana was talking about, it seems like the past month and a half, everything I touch, which normally
I'm, you know, mechanically inclined, constructionally inclined. I can just pretty much go to a job and, you know what I'm doing, get it done, and move on to the next job. But like I said, for the last month and a half, it seems like every single thing I touch has gone wrong. And it's taken me 2 to 3 times as long to do what I'd normally do in a third of the time. That's one of the attacks I've been getting. The other thing on the last Wednesday night Bible study, which it dawned on me when David was talking about it. But see, I live about, I'd say, kind of in the middle between the Paulding County Walmart and the Yorkville Staging Center, or whatever he called it. Well, the Walmart in Paulding County, when they first started building it, it was strange to me because it was a big old, not a mountain, but a big old hill, and you wouldn't even know they were building it if it hadn't been for the sign out on the road. But anyway, I've been praying to the Lord real strong because I've been asking them to open the people in my family's eyes to let them see what's going on. And it's not happening. I mean, but I'm believing that it will. I'm believing that he's going to open their eyes. But the thing I've been battling real strong, and I just would like it if you would, Michael, just pray over me for the Lord to give me, you know, just a significant something just to tell me where he wants me or what he wants me to do. That's it.
Okay, in reference to what, Slade? You talking about where you're supposed to be right now, or
where he wants? Right now. I know. I keep every time on the studies and all. When David talks about something, it's something that pretty much I'd already studied or seen and all, and then he's like, you know, giving confirmation on it and everything, and I'm well aware. I'm well aware of where we're headed. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I do know that the Lord's in charge of everything. And I do know his purpose in all this, because it's going to draw a lot of people to the Lord when it happens. But I just, a good while back, I was planning on moving to Tennessee. But I had a dream one night, probably, I don't know, 3 years ago, better. And in the dream, I won't go into the whole dream, but one main part of the dream, it was David. And he said to me, and this was just in a dream. I'm not saying, you know, physical or anything like that. But David said to me, "You can't come in here." And that has stuck in my mind so strong for so long and all. And like I said, at one time, I was planning on moving to Tennessee. And that just, you know, stuck in my mind so hard and everything. But I'd just like the Lord to show me. I mean, if I'm meant for captivity, into captivity I go. I understand all that. But I pray that my flight not be in wintertime, and I pray that I'm worthy to stand before the Lord and all that. And I try, you know, try my best and everything. But I just, you know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to pray for me, that'd probably be the best thing to do.
Okay, well, let me say something about that. First of all, anyone who comes here has to be led of the Lord. If you come here because of whatever, you know, some people come here because of fear of what's going to happen. They didn't think they're going to be in a refuge. Some people just come here with an agenda. Some people come here for being taught and to, you know, whatever. Whatever the motive is, has to be okayed by God. If God doesn't okay it and you come here, you won't stay here long. I can tell you that from being here for 4 years.
My whole thing for moving there was to be around like-minded people. Because where I'm at, I mean, you know, I can talk to 1,000 people here, and out of 1,000, you're not going to get much response whatsoever. So that was my purpose, to be around people that, you know, believe the same, that feel the same about everything and all. And as far as the fear, you know, absence from the flesh is presence with the Lord. So, you know,
yeah.
That doesn't, if the Lord took me tonight, if he's ready for me tonight, I'm ready.
Amen. But well, what I was going to say, yeah. Slade, is that the Lord is, this is a boot camp of perfection through Christ.
Right.
This is what this is. This is not a place where we're going to tiptoe through the tulips through tribulation. That ain't the way it's going to be. I'm telling you right now, this is the hardest I've ever, you know, and Tim can probably verify, and many other people can verify. This has been the hardest 4 years of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because God is straightening up his people. He's straightening them up to manifest Christ in them. And the more you can do out there, you know, that's what he wants. That's what he's doing with us. He's getting rid of all carnality, like Albert was talking about a while ago. He's getting rid of the flesh. He's getting rid of the world. He's getting rid of the all things that have hindered our walk. That's what he's getting rid of here. And if you don't, I'm telling you, if you don't agree with the way God does it, you know, he'll send you out of here. Not us. God will do it. we don't have to do anything. We just sit and watch and wonder.
I understand all that. And see my, I won't say problem, but like my daughter's 13. She's a straight A student. She hadn't missed a day out of school. She just got awards last night for those reasons. And that's another thing. I didn't want to go, but I had to go because it was my daughter. And they took probably, at least 600 people and shoved them into a building that probably holds 300 people. I mean, you're standing, you couldn't even turn left or right. And I was just thinking, this has got to be what it's going to be like, you know, when they drop the ball or whatever. And it just, I hate it being, I didn't hate the people, but I hated being in that crowd. I couldn't even hardly breathe. I mean, I hated it. But I have to, you know, my daughter, she's as happy as she can be right now because, you know, her friends and all that. And I just, I don't know. I don't want to be confused or anything like that because I know confusion isn't of the Lord. Yeah. I just need some real strong, because, you know, I tell the Lord a lot of times, I said, Lord, you know I'm a dummy. And sometimes you might show me something, and I don't realize it's you showing me. And I just wish, I don't know, if I had my way, I'd have Jesus come down here and sit on the edge of my bed and say, look, Slade, this is what I want you to do. You know?
Amen.
Amen, yeah.
Well, Lord, we just ask you, and on behalf of Slade, Father, to give him a dream or a vision to what you want him, where you want him to be, Lord. And if right there is where you want him to be, Lord, I just ask that you just leave it alone. But if you need him to move somewhere, give him a dream or a vision, Father, and I thank you for that. Or give him something that he'll know that it's you, Lord. And I appreciate it, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That's a done deal, Slade. If he wants you to move, he'll give you a dream or a vision or some way of telling you. Or might be an angel drop in to see you. I don't know.
Oh, that's fine with me, too.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah, brother. Anybody else?
Oh, wait a minute, Michael. One more thing, okay?
Yeah.
Davis talked about, you know, her name's Glenda. She's a prophetess or whatever it's called. But he's talked about her a couple of times on his show. And I'm on her email list, and what y'all was talking about tonight, that's what was on my email today. It's only three paragraphs, and they're short paragraphs. Would it be okay if I read that real quick?
Sure.
Okay, it says, she said, as I waited before the Lord to receive this word, I felt what he was about to speak was one he wanted very urgently for us to hear and heed. And this is what he told her. Model my ways in the earth, my children, for plans are made by children of the evil one that you know not of, and the result shall be terrible to see. Many lives will be lost in the disasters that they now plan, and many more forever changed. If you will walk in my ways, many of those souls may be saved, and your reward here in heaven increases. Stay close to me, my children, for none are prepared for the horrors to come. I will shelter you. I will walk with you. I will. You never walk alone. I love you, my children, with an everlasting love. That was it. And thank you.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Mike, this is Al again. I won't take too long. This past weekend, I have a younger cousin. He's 51 years old. I'm in my 60th year on this planet. I'll be 60 in September, Lord willing, by His grace. But anyway, my younger cousin, he passed. He had been sick for a while. Yeah, he was on dialysis for several years, and then he went into a coma, and he was in a coma from like last October until a few weeks ago when the Lord, you know, it just went on. I can't be certain, you know, about him because I didn't know him that well. We hadn't been around each other a lot, but he was a Catholic, and so my mom and I, we went to the funeral at the Catholic Church, and I just kind of saw how the priest there was, or the Catholic priest rather, was mixing some truth in with worldly doctrine, and I was watching, you know, these people, you know, like when you get up and sit down, you get up and sit down. My mom has arthritis in her hip, and she has a stiff hip, so she couldn't do all that getting up and sitting down, getting up and sitting down. And people were going up for the priest to bless them, and my cousin, he was a cowboy. Actually, he was. Remember all these cowboy associations, and there were people that came, black and white, from Texas, Florida, Utah, some everywhere, and they had their pretty horses, and he was in a horse-driven hearse, and just a whole lot of fanfare. I mean, big turnout and everything, and the priest was attempting to put him in heaven, you know, after he's gone on, and was telling everybody to pray for his soul. And I'm thinking to myself, well, we're born twice of water and of spirit, and we appointed to die once, and so I'm thinking, you know, it ain't gonna work if he wasn't. So anyway, the long story is that I noticed that people, they just don't get it. You've got to have your spirit quickened to be able to understand spiritual truths. You have the masses of this world are just into carnality, carnal Christians, carnal worship, attempting to worship God through their flesh. I was like that for years and years and didn't know any better. But God, He's a spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, in our spirit man, our inner man, not our outer man, not that stony flesh, not that outer that come from Adam. It's got to be our spirit man that comes from the last Adam, from Jesus Christ. And so many people haven't realized that they haven't had that revelation, and so they just waste their time, and that's where a lot of the conviction comes from. or they're feeling guilty, you know, because you keep trying to serve God through your flesh, and it ain't going to happen because God said no flesh will glory in his presence. And people that just, you know, do not get it. And that's why it's so important that for those whose spirit has been quickened, has been brought to life, when we're amongst dead bones walking, we can't talk them into believing or talk them into understanding. It's got to be where the Spirit of the Lord just spills out of us on sin. And we just let that, just the love of Jesus just come all out of us. And no matter what, because there was a time, you know, I feel like I didn't want to go back into a worldly church building. But the Lord has dealt with me here over the past couple of years or so, where now I don't get into no arguments, no debates, or who's right or who's wrong, none of that. And that's by his grace that I don't do that, because it doesn't work, because they're going to just, the flesh, you know, what agreement does flesh have with spirit? None. Light with darkness, no kind of relationship. And so the only way for them to get it, it's just to see, hey, Al, Mike, Tim, the sister that was speaking earlier, Slay, there's something different about them. I don't know what it is. They just got this peace about them all the time. And that's the only way, because we get into trying to share scriptural knowledge with them and everything, when they're carnal Christians, boy, they're going to want to do battle with you. They're going to want to say, well, I know just as much as him. I'm going to out-talk him. I'm going to show him, you know, he thinks he know all about the Bible. I'm going to show him that I know about the Bible. And you get into a place where you don't want to be. But then when, because I noticed that I was around a lot of my relatives that I hadn't been around for quite a while, and I noticed that they were all, like, drawn to me. The peace of the Lord was just there, whereas in past years when I was trying to share different things with them, you know, it'll be that sort of tension between us. But now, it's the peace of the Lord. He said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. And I receive Jesus' peace now. And spiritual warfare, it's a blessing for me to be caught up in spiritual warfare now, because as the brother was saying, everything he touches kind of don't work right like it used to. That's a good thing. It's not comfortable to your flesh. Your flesh don't like it, but your spirit man is growing, because see, when things go against us, that's our outer man decaying, and the inner man is renewing day by day. I've gotten to the point now where I genuinely make myself content with such things as I have. I don't do all that wanting anymore, or caught up with, you know, what I do for a living and all that. You know, it's like, hey, I'm just passing through anyway. So I'm not trying to build a kingdom here, or have a lot here. This ain't my home. So I just wanted to share that with, you know, when things aren't going the way your flesh would have it, that's a good thing. That's good. That's why Jesus said, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. And he was just as contented, just sleeping like I don't know what on that boat in the storm of life. Sleeping good. You don't have to have all those worries about the things of this world. This bill got to be paid. That bill got to, I got to do this. I got to do all that is a distraction of Satan to keep our minds, keep our eyes off of Jesus. So, hallelujah. God bless all of y'all. I love y'all.
Amen, Albert. That was good, brother. Thank you so much. He's right, too. We got to be like Jesus in here. Go ahead, Michael. You got something you want to share?
It's actually Angelica. Hi.
Okay. Hey, Angelica.
Okay. I want to ask you, Brother Michael, if you could help me to better understand the scripture. It's in three places in the Gospels, in Matthew 12 and 31, Mark 3 and 29, Luke 12 and 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and there's one more place, Matthew 12 and 32, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And I'm on a little bit of a journey, you know, trying to have a greater understanding on that. And I just wanted to ask if you might have any revelation or insight or anything you can share with me about, you know, how that looks or what that means, you know, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, the Lord says, you know, if we do, we won't be forgiven. We're in danger of eternal damnation. And we won't be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. And that's pretty serious. And I would love to have a better understanding if there's anything you can share with me on that.
Remember when the Lord, let me think here. When the Lord healed that person, and one of the Pharisees said that he healed by Beelzebub, That was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Christian realm, it's actually pretty hard to do. But when you know something and you go against.
Hey, Michael, you're underwater again.
I'm not got the fan going. I ain't got the fan going.
Okay.
How's that, Tim?
It sounds good now.
Sounds good.
Starting to fade away. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on, but nothing anymore because we prayed. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit, actually, Angelica, is quite hard for someone who doesn't have a whole lot of understanding in that. When you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, is when you, like the Pharisees did, claim that Jesus healed by Beelzebub. Or he did his miracles by Beelzebub, and they don't give the glory to the Lord. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit when they knew better.
Right.
So that's just a tiny bit of it, but hopefully that'll help you. Maybe somebody else can give some more here.
Yeah, amen. If anybody does, please share.
One thing I remember in one of David's study that he said we're not respond that, you know, the Lord doesn't hold against us what we don't know. So I think what she might be saying is that she might have felt like she's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. But if we don't know it and we do it in ignorance, it isn't held against us, right, Michael, or no?
Sure. Yeah. It, you're accounted righteous. You're accounted for what you know, okay? But blaspheming the Holy Spirit is denying that the Holy Spirit exists, you know, denying that the Holy Spirit does these things through people. So, you know, that's just my take on it. When that Pharisee said that Jesus healed by Beelzebub, does his works by Beelzebub, that was blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that's what set him off, and I told him that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else got anything they'd like to add?
Well, I know that it's really, you know, he was speaking towards the Pharisees who had, I mean, they'd been to, you know, they knew the word, they were teaching the word and all that, and he was holding them accountable, you know, for that, and, you know, they were speaking against the Holy Spirit. But I do know that you know, there's some people that I've, you know, ministered to and stuff like that have gotten bound up in that only because they, you know, when they didn't have the knowledge, like Slade said, they spoke against tongues. You know, they made fun of people who spoke in tongues. or, you know, they did, you know, something like that, and the enemy had come in with a legalistic spirit and said that you're not forgiven, you know, you're basically, you know, you're damned to hell because you spoke against the Holy Spirit. And but the truth was, they didn't have the full knowledge. It was what they were taught. It was something that they were said. But the enemy, and it's a pretty hard bondage that I've seen some people in that are bound up in that. And it's just a legalistic type thing. But it's really, you've got to have the full knowledge, be walking in that knowledge, and then turn on the Holy Spirit.
Well, where is that point, Tim? Where is that point? Where is that line that determines?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Tim.
Oh,
wonder where that line is that determines blaspheming the Holy Spirit and not having the knowledge to be a blasphemy.
Yeah, I don't know, because we've all gotten frustrated with God, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think. That's just me. I'm thinking that somebody that has called themselves a Christian for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they haven't researched it, haven't looked at it, could that possibly be a line that has been drawn in the sand? Somebody help me here now.
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard. In David's teaching, I have heard him say that blaspheming the Holy Spirit is any time you give Satan the credit for what God has done.
That's what my knowledge of it is, too.
And that's
a good one.
What you said there before with Beelzebub. That's really what you were saying, too.
Yeah. That's
so does that mean, like with what's going on in the world right now, and when people blame Satan for it, even though Satan's doing it, but it's God who's either allowing it or the people allowing it, Satan to do it to them.
I'm not following you, Slade.
Well, you know, like what's going on in the world right now, in the Middle East, in this country and everything, like we know it's the devil doing it. But God's in control of the devil. The devil's only allowed to do what God allows him to do, correct?
Yeah. Well, that's the devil done. That's not the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, I was just trying to understand what he was saying about that.
Well, like healing or deliverance, or when somebody's prayed over for a healing or prayed over for deliverance, and somebody else says, well, you know, that was the devil that healed him. Devil doesn't heal anybody. Devil doesn't deliver anybody. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. That's my understanding.
See, what came to my mind when you said that, when David was talking about that false revival down in Florida.
Right.
You know, when he was talking about the people that were healed and all, well, at the, you know, saying they was healed and all. But then when they went back later to check with the people, their healing didn't stay. You know, it was like just a temporary healing, I guess. So that would be of the devil, correct?
Well, if they didn't have a healing, they didn't have a healing. So it's a moot question, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the testimony that David gave was that ABC went down there and investigated every one of the claimed healings and found out that none of them had been healed.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about. They had claimed that they were healed.
Yeah.
And I guess was it that they thought they were healed, but they weren't healed?
No, they just lying. That's all that was.
Michael.
I don't know. What you go ahead, Michael. Help me out here, bro.
I was just going to say one comment. I think that would put Slade just brought up. Slade brought up. That's a good point because, you know, misrepresenting the Holy Spirit, like he casts out devils because he's the prince of the devils is what they said of Jesus. But I believe it would be the same thing to say that something that's from the devil is a work of the Holy Spirit is just as blasphemous as the other way. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to argue with it. I don't know. I don't know. One's a lie, and the other is, of course, a lie. But you're attributing a lie to the devil, and you're also attributing a lie to the Holy Spirit. So yeah, I guess it could be. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, because, you know, God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. So I get, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and confuse y'all or myself anymore. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. Best thing to do is to get in the Word and understand that God does all the promises, all the promises. And the devil is there as a tool that God uses to correct us. That's what the devil's job is. His job, God has him in his toolbox. He reaches down and grabs him to chasten us and bring us back around to him when we get astray. And also to test us, and also to keep us in line. That's what God does. You know, he's a loving father, and he wants to keep us with him. And when we go astray, he allows the devil to come in and do his work and to torment us until we turn back to him. The Holy Spirit's job, on the other hand, is to teach us about Jesus, and also to give us the power to overcome the devil, and to give us knowledge and wisdom in the Word of God. And he teaches us the Word of God as well. So that's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's job. Holy Spirit is good, devil bad. You know, that's a simple gospel.
Amen.
But as far as the blaspheming thing goes, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just know, you know, just get in the Word.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
I think you have a homework assignment.
Well, actually, Tim, that was my homework assignment, because in all honesty, I brought it up in a women's Bible study that I'm in, and we were just talking, you know, and then I just brought out that question, and then the leader facilitator, you know, she said to me, well, she said, you search that out and you bring back to us next week what you find. So that's been my homework assignment, you know. And, you know, I mean, I can read all the scriptures that speak to that, you know, and I could do the word studies, but I don't know of any biblical examples where I've seen that, or I don't have any deep revelation on that. And so I was trying to glean a little bit from, you know, the brethren here.
Yeah.
And see if there was anything anybody else could add to it, because I will share tomorrow with the ladies what I do have, you know, and see if they have anything further. Yeah.
Amen.
But thank you.
Hey, Mike. What they come up with.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, Mike, this is the other Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
One thing I will say, you said you did the word studies. Maybe you can make a good start by going back and looking at the word blaspheme and breaking down what that actually means, because people have a lot of preconceptions about what that word means. But go back to the Hebrew and look that up, and I think that'll probably give you at least some starting insight.
Well, it's in the Greek, and I did that. I did the word study on that, and in the Greek I did that. So, but thank you. I appreciate you all who shared for this, and appreciate your help with it. God bless.
A couple of comments?
Yeah, go ahead.
One is, it's not a definition or anything, but in considering the Apostle Paul, and how he plotted to kill all the Christians and to really impede things, and yet so, but he didn't qualify for the blasphemy of the Spirit. So that's, he doesn't fit in that category, and just to have that as a data point. And another one is, I believe Alexander the coppersmith was turned over to Satan that he might learn not to blaspheme. And I think that point there was that he still had an opportunity, I think, to repent. So there's a couple of points to look at in considering this topic.
All right. Anybody else?
Anybody else?
All right. Everybody mute. I'm getting feedback
here. I just looked up blasphemy. It's mentioned 7 times in the New Testament, and the definition in the Greek is the Greek 988 in the concordance means vilification, especially against God, but evil speaking and railing. So vilification is the key word there, I believe. For the word blasphemy, it's the blasphema in the Greek, and blasphemy is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not in the Hebrew. It's only in the Greek.
Well, now in Psalm 74, verse 10, it says, "O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever?"
What is that, Slade?
Psalm 74.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Slade, what was it?
I looked up blasphemy, not blaspheme, but blasphemy is, there was...
What it says, blasphemy, it's a B-L-A-S. P-H-E-M-E, blasphemy?
No, it's with a Y. B-L-A-S-T-H-E-M-Y.
See how good I am? I got M-E and M-Y. It sounds just the same, don't it?
Yeah, no problem. I can't spell either, tell you the truth.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. But that's what I went to the concordance in the back of the Bible, and that's it took it there, and like you said, a few other places.
Mm-hmm. What was that song that you gave? I couldn't hear it.
74, verse 10.
Psalm 74, verse 10. Let me look there.
It's blaspheme.
Blaspheme, okay.
Yeah, blaspheme thy name forever.
Is that blaspheme and blasphemy? What's the difference? See, what's the difference? I'm taking us deeper, huh? I'm sorry.
Blaspheme means speak irreverently about God or sacred things.
Okay, speaking against God, basically, right?
Yeah.
The question Angie had was just about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and I think she's covered that pretty good.
Yeah.
We covered it pretty good here. She just wanted some further input.
And that was Psalm 74 in what verse?
10. But like Michael said, it's the Holy Spirit's what we're talking about, not just the word blaspheme or blasphemy.
Right.
So,
but in Matthew there, it speaks of vilification, where Jesus said that, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." And that's the Greek 988 and vilification. So I guess, you know, speaking bad could, you know, be almost the same as vilification.
Amen. Okay, anybody else want to share anything or have a testimony?
Okay, yeah, Michael. I'd like to share a little bit about my visit.
Okay.
Yeah, these are so much. I don't even know what to share. I guess the biggest thing I want to share is, I was just totally blessed by my stay there with y'all. It was awesome. I got there Wednesday the 29th, and I was supposed to leave Thursday the 7th. And Linda gets up Wednesday morning, the day before I was supposed to leave, and she says, "I feel to ask you, you know, ask the Lord was prompting her to ask me if I could stay another 3 days, and I'm like, oh boy, I was pushing it, asking for 9 days, because one day there and one day back, and then a whole 7 days there. So I was like, I really wanted to stay because I was just so enjoying the fellowship and just participating in many things and all. But anyway, because I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm like, can I ask Merle if I can stay till Sunday? And so I flipped over my Bible and put my finger down. I don't remember the exact verse or the exact words, but it started off saying something about about Israel gathering together for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was the beginning part of it. I don't remember that last part of it was, and I was like, oh, wow, Lord. I'm like, what a cool, you know, because Unleavened Bread Ministries, I was like, wow, what an awesome verse. But anyway, so long story short, I asked Merle, and it gave him a little bit to think about it and talk to him later in the day, and he said, yeah, I guess so, you know, and so I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And Belinda had said, too, that she felt like the Lord was saying that there was more for me or there were just other things, too, that the Lord wanted me to do while I was down there. We were hoping that that I could stay longer too, because Wednesday Linda and I went and visited a sister that has really been having a lot of health issues and almost died at least a couple times that I'm aware of, and was just recently in the hospital, and while I was there. And she had gotten out, and she was just really struggling to, you know, make sure she didn't have any unforgiveness and things like that. But anyway, so Belinda and I prayed with her Wednesday and prayed in the Spirit, and she asked the Lord if to show Belinda and I something, you know. She said the Lord was, you know, after we got done praying in Spirit and all, we talked a little bit, and she said the Lord was prompting her to ask me, did you get anything? And I'm like, well, I was discerning something before we even prayed, and I wasn't sure if it was me or just my opinion or what, because that's not something that the Lord usually, it's not something that he uses me to do. Very rarely, you know, very rarely do I get words of knowledge or whatever and stuff like that. So I said, well, I'm not sure, but we were going to go back the next day as long as I was able to stay longer and cut her and her husband's hair and fellowship and pray with her some more and all. So I got this one word, and so Belinda and I were going out the road, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I need a word of confirmation, you know, if this is you, you know, if this is a correct word. And so I flipped open my Bible and put my finger down, and it confirmed it. So then we went to see her the next day and everything, and I can't even remember if we prayed with her first and all. Now, I think we cut her hair first, but anyway, so it was really cool. Like, she had this, actually, when we were praying with her the previous day in the Spirit, she had this, I don't know if she'd say a vision or just, I don't know. She said she just saw herself standing in her mother's house. She's about 5-6 years old, and just paralyzed with fear. She couldn't move, and then the next day she told me a little bit more, told us a little bit more that she saw her bedroom door, but she didn't want to look in or whatever. But the Lord showed me what that all meant, you know, that her mother's house was local UBM there, and she was afraid of what they would all say. It was paralyzing her, you know, the fear of opening up and, I guess, confessing things and stuff like that. And she didn't want to look in her room, meaning she didn't want to look inside herself. It represented herself. But anyway, it was just pretty cool, you know. I was just like, the Lord, but anyway, so then the Lord was showing me something out, and I wanted to make sure that the Lord was showing me what I thought he was showing me again. And hold on just 1 second. Okay, I had to kiss my mom and make it quick. Anyway, so I flipped open my Bible again and asked for a confirming word. And I was like, what the world does that mean? I was like, what does that mean, you know? And I was like, huh? At first, and then it dawned on me what the Lord was telling me. I don't want to reveal a whole lot, but it was just so awesome how the Lord used just this verse, these verses and everything. But anyway, so it prompted me to ask her a question, and she said, you know, she started to tell us some things, and, you know, the thing of it was is, you know, it was like even, you know, Belinda and I, you know, confessed some things to her, you know, of things of our past that maybe we never confessed to anybody before, you know. It was kind of like the Lord was just like using this situation to for Belinda and I to confess some things and make sure that, you know, they weren't a hindrance to us, our relationship with the Lord and stuff. It's really cool. So what it did was it made her feel at ease and all, and so she started telling us some things or whatever, and I was saying to her, you know, about, you know, Father, you know, forget, you know, you need to forgive this person. I said that was, you know, a long time ago, and this person was, you know, filled with evil spirits and stuff, and, you know, it's like, Father, forgive them for the, you know, not what they're doing. And what came out of my mouth, you know, I saw too that she needed to forgive herself, and I never saw it in this light before. It was like all of a sudden this instant revelation is, I said, you know, you need to forgive yourself too, Father. I forgive myself, for I knew not what I was doing. I said, you know, these people were full of spirits. This is before you were saved. These people were full of spirits. You were full of spirits, you know, and none of you knew what you were doing, you know. And there was just kind of things that were kind of repressed and everything, and that she was just afraid to talk about because they were so painful and everything, things that happened to her and all. And anyway, so one of the things we started praying with her and commanding spirits to go, and one of the things that came to me was to command the spirit of shame to go. And when I said that, you know, she just laughed and got this big smile, and she said, yes. And it was just like, when I said that, it was just like this, it was, you know, it was so awesome. She, you know, it was such a joy to see her get freed, but it was just like this big, it's almost, you could see that was when her countenance just really turned when the Lord showed me that. And then we started singing we sang a couple songs with her. One was Victory in Jesus, and the other one was, I forget what it's called, something about Comforter or whatever, but we were singing these songs with her. And after we got done singing, just a little bit after we got done singing, she said, you know, when we were singing these songs, she said, I remember something that I had, that she had forgotten about. The Lord brought to her memory something that she had forgotten about. And that was the key. That was a major key. I wouldn't say it was the only key. I believe her forgiving herself. And this were like two huge, huge things. She basically spoke a curse on herself way back a long time ago. So we broke that curse, you know. She spoke on herself because it was, you know, it was something that she spoke thinking that she was going to be protecting herself, but it really was a curse. And it was just so awesome. The Lord was so awesome. We were all like in tears. We were a bunch of, as Blenda would say, slobbering all over ourselves or whatever. Just, you know, we were all just so happy that she was set free and stuff and all. You know, we just encouraged her, you know, if there was anything else the Lord showed her, you know, and just to give Belinda a call and, you know, talk to her and pray with her and stuff. And so we realized that that was one of the reasons why the Lord wanted me to stay longer. And I was kind of joking with her. I said, on the lighter side, I said, you're my first real guinea pig. The Lord's really given me to really, you know, really minister to and help and pray with and you know, with deliverance and stuff. Not that I haven't done it already before, but it was just so awesome. I never had an experience like that before. And it was just Belinda and I both working together. And it was just like, it was like totally the Lord. It was so awesome. The Lord was so awesome and so merciful. And I'd say that was about the one, about probably the biggest highlight of the whole trip. And there were, you know, the Lord started showing me some things maybe about a week before I went down to Tennessee, and just some things that I've been speaking about for a while. And while I was there, the Lord gave me the answers, just showed me some things that he had been showing me with numbers and what they meant and all. And the Lord really, really blessed me. I got to help move Amber and Lexi, got to see how all the brothers and sisters just pitch in together and move someone, and got to help out with that. And got to go to all the morning prayer meetings and the pot blessing. And since I stayed longer, I got to go to a regular Friday night meeting, went to the prayer meeting, and it was just like, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. Monday evening when we had the prayer meeting, it wasn't the normal prayer meeting, because there were some students from the college there, Hawassi or whatever, and because we, you know, we were being week to the week, but I just so enjoyed the praise and worship and singing and everything. And before I went, I had it planned that when we sang Garments of Praise, that when it comes to the parts that where, you know, you just makes you want to get up and dance. I got up and I grabbed Belinda and we started doing Swing Your Partner. I you know, if you hook your arms, and I couldn't believe, I kind of took Belinda off guard. She didn't know what to do at first. It's kind of hard to get Belinda off guard. She's pretty quick. But anyway, we just so enjoyed the fellowship, and some of the sisters pitched in and helped one of the single brothers and cleaned the house for him, for, because the prayer meeting was at his house. And it was a blessing to bless him. And, you know, one thing that, you know, the Lord just really brought to my attention is, you know, there are they are brothers. It seems like it's more of a brother thing than it is a sister thing. But there's brothers that you know, like this one brother, his wife left him, and I think that was basically because, you know, he had fallen the Lord, and she didn't want to do that, and there's a lot of very similar situations, and it's just, you know, you realize, you know, that there's people that's given up everything, you know, to follow the Lord. And that's, I often thought, you know, I'll give up anything that I have to give up to follow the Lord. And it's just incredible to see the Lord working in. And something that Michael said earlier, you know, and Belinda told me a lot, you know, everybody thinks it's pie in the sky and to go there, and it's not. You know, I saw a lot of things going on, the trials and the tribulations that everybody goes through and stuff like that. But which reminds me, Tim, I wanted to tell you this and I forgot, but on my way down, I was following this tractor trailer, and I looked up on my way down there on Wednesday, the 29th. I looked up and I saw that on the back of this tractor trailer, it said, first thing I noticed was 144. And then I looked again, and it had T/144. And I thought of what you, Linda told me that you'd said to her, you know what T in Tennessee stands for? Tribulation. I just thought of that right away, and I'm like, oh boy, you know. So, you know, my whole thought behind going down was, you know, just to, you know, to learn from everybody, and I just had such an awesome time. It's such an awesome time. I just love being with everybody, and I love everybody dearly. And like, even like brothers that weren't there when I went down in August with Barbara. I mean, even ones that I hadn't met before, just newer ones and stuff. You know, it's just like, you know, you can just see the love they have for the Lord and for each other, and how ones, you know, heard stories about how the Lord just delivered ones from some awful situations or addictions and stuff like that, and how the Lord just totally turned them around, and it's just so awesome. And I have to say right now, but
amen. So,
I can't wait to go back down again. I was so blessed. Right.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it was an awesome time having you down with us. Okay, yeah. Has anybody else got anything they want to share before we close out here?
I just want to say one thing, Michael. I just have a word in my spirit, and it's just this, that the Lord spoke to me one time. I've mentioned it before, but he said, make sure your foundations. And right, it's not going to matter what we know. It's not going to matter what we talk about or what we think. It's the only thing that's going to stand, the tremendous shaking that's coming, and the intensity is reality and our experience with the Lord. And we need to be very brutally honest with ourselves and not care what others think as much as we're desperately honest with God and care what he thinks, and to seek to be very real in our walk with him. Have short accounts. Don't keep it. Let anything. Just if you fail, get it quickly. Repent and get clean. But really, I encourage your brethren, as God's dealing with me, to come into the light everywhere you can, because right now you better get your roots really established, because there's a shaking that you don't really have any comprehension of, and I don't either. I just got a sense in my spirit that we really
are getting ready to get fire tested. It's like the man that had their house on the rock and the house in the sand, the one that's the doer and the hearer. That's the difference. They're both going to be vehemently tested, but one is going to stand because it's founded on the rock, and that's the man that dig deep and laid his foundation on the rock. But you're going to be shocked at the intensity of the storm that's coming upon the people of God, especially in this land. And we just really need to get very brutally honest and do business with God. And we don't want any play acting. That's what the word hypocrisy in the Greek is play acting. That means just putting on a little show before people. But it's getting to a place where we do business with God, where we get honest with God, where we get everything in the open, where we confess what needs to be confessed, repent, and talk isn't going to make it. It's going to be the reality of whether we are doers or hearers of the things that we've heard and profess to believe, because the doers will stand, the hearers will fall.
Amen. It really doesn't make any difference where you are, whether you're down here or up in wherever, you know. So same thing applies to everybody. You can be down here and think you're okay and still have sin in your life, and a crack can open up, you know. You got to be right with the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you show each one of us any kind of thing that's in our heart that might hinder us, Lord, from being pleasing to you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you be with us the rest of the week. Lord, and bless us with your knowledge. Bless us, Lord, with wisdom and understanding in your word. Also, Lord, we ask for your guidance to teach us how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And also, Lord, to set a guard before our lips. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight everybody's going to sleep real well, Lord, and you're going to give us dreams and visions about the times ahead. And just like Michael said, Lord, get us ready for the times ahead. We know you can do that, Lord. We know that we have to depend on you. We know that we have to rely on you for everything, Lord. But teach us, Lord, to go to you for everything. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Good night, saints. We'll see y'all Thursday night.